What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. I am on my way to the United States of America. There is a part of me that is kind of, you know, a little bit over travel and also so grateful that this gets to be the life that I get to live. I'm actually en route to see and train with Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos. I have enrolled and embarked on a 12-month in-person mentorship with them, which has me returning to Austin, Texas many times throughout the next 12 months for a facilitator training. Obviously, in my most recent Bali retreat, we worked with somatics, soma meaning the body. We worked with primarily body-based practices to support women to connect deeply with their own internal world. And that is why the work that I deliver with the women that I work with is so incredibly transformational, because it gets us out of our mind and connects us so deeply with our body. Trauma is stored in the body, which is why the women that I work with, we're creating true, sustained transformation and change because we're going to the body. So obviously, they've been my mentors for so long. I love and adore their work so much, appreciate and respect their work. It has been nothing short of transformational for my entire life. And learning also is something that really excites me. Growth is one of my highest values. And to receive in person from them feels like a really exciting way for me to spend my next 12 months. And I am so looking forward to infusing and integrating everything that I learn into my business, into this podcast, into the women that I get to work with, and just see all of our lives dramatically and so impactfully change in such beautiful ways. So this podcast is kind of, but not really about that. It is about somatics. Whilst I don't talk about it, I actually talk about creating a deep felt sense of inner trust and inner safety to be able to communicate vulnerably, and why you may be avoiding the communication of your vulnerability because trust and safety internally does not exist. I share with you again through story, another sexy one, Margaret Antonucci. Do not listen to this podcast. I'm sorry, mother. Two podcasts in a row. Your suppressed sexual expression has come out in me. She wanted to be a nun. She's only been with my dad, married the one man, and had me as a daughter. Can we just all laugh at that, Margaret Antonucci? When I am in Perth and we're in the same place, we are going to do an in-person podcast recording, but let's park that for now. Don't listen to this podcast. As I think I've already scarred you for life, this is just going to take it to a whole other level. So I actually share that I did something that I tell you not to do. This isn't a herpes conversation, by the way. This storytelling lesson is taught through sex and herpes virus, but is very much around vulnerable communication and holding our vulnerable communication in our power by working on our self-trust and our inner safety. And I speak about how I literally did what I tell you not to do. I met a man on a night out. I didn't expect it to go anywhere. I didn't think that I was interested in him. I didn't think that I was sexually turned on by him. I thought I was attracted to him, but turn on wouldn't exist. He was just not my usual type, but these kind of types just don't fucking exist in Perth, Western Australia. We are the furthest state away from everywhere. So we're kind of used to the one kind of man. I'm just like, I just think a white Aussie rough bloke with tattoos, as much as like, I just don't really think that they're my guy. They're just not my guy. They're not my guy. Anyway, I've been meeting a whole array. There's a whole fruit platter. It's funny. A mentor said to me once, it's kind of like in Perth, you have a fruit platter that just has an apple on it. And in other parts of the world, there's like a fruit platter with all the fruit. And you really like all the fruit. You just don't know all the fruit exists. Well, trust me, I'm trying some serious fruit right now and it tastes delicious. Anyway, I was a bit naughty and one thing led to another, and I didn't expect this to occur, but disclosure had to be done in the throes of passion and intimacy, obviously before anything had actually happened, but disclosure got done in the moment that I tell you not to disclose. And I share with you also my four-part disclosure piece. You know how God always gives me more situations and scenarios to practice with? The whole four-point script of my disclosure got to be happened while I'm mounted, hands gridlocked, wrist locked by this man's hands. Just, again, Margaret Antonucci, no listening to this story, babe. You don't want to hear. Anyway, I share with you the work that got to be done by me to be able to hold such powerful vulnerable, this conversation is no longer vulnerable for me, but it once was, but to be able to hold this conversation so powerfully and from my center so that I never ever self-abandon and so that I continue to create meaningful experiences with meaningful people who I respect and who in return respect me back. You are going to love this episode. Make sure you stay through all the way from the beginning, all the way to the very end. If you love it, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of a sexy episode. Let's fucking go. What does it actually take to be able to communicate your voice, your truth vulnerably? Especially when you're scared, or especially when you're nervous, or especially when you're not yet practiced in communicating this vulnerable thing. You know, vulnerable things are vulnerable for as long as they are vulnerable until you're practiced in communicating it. And then it really no longer is vulnerable. You know, whether you resonate with the herpes conversation or not, I know that you know by now that I test positive for the herpes virus. Now, years ago when I used to communicate this, of course, that was incredibly vulnerable for me. But now it's not, because it's so practiced, it's so embodied. It's like, oh yeah, I have 10 fingers, 10 toes, and I test positive for the herpes virus. But now I have new vulnerabilities and new sensitivities. And I'm sure when I meet my partner, there is going to be a lot of vulnerability and a lot of sensitivity and a lot of tenderness and a lot of fear to be able to communicate what is really true for me in the face of him. New level, new devil, right? And this is why this work is so important. We can't expect ourselves to be good at something that we've never practiced before, but we also can't expect ourselves to do something that we've never practiced before if either A, we're attached to getting it right and we're scared to get it wrong, or B, which is the one that I really want to focus on today, we don't trust ourselves and we haven't created the inner safety to hold ourselves in the face of our vulnerable communication. Now, you might know, I'm sure that there are vulnerabilities that all of us could share, whether it is to a friend, to a loved one, to an intimate partner, to our partner, to a mentor. I'm sure there are lots of truths that could be spoken and lots of powerful truths that could actually create more meaningful relationships and stronger foundations for the relationship. And I'm sure there are plenty of ruptures over all of our lives that haven't fully been repaired, which creates disconnection from ourselves, disconnection from that person that we hold the rupture with. And I'll put my hand up and let you know that my personality pattern is avoidance. I think I've said this on the podcast many times. I say it in my groups all the time. I don't like vulnerable conversations. I don't like challenging conversations. I don't like confrontation. I don't like it. I want everything to be easy just as much as you do. But I also know how necessary these conversations are. I also know how much resentment can be created in important relationships and friendships when truths are not communicated. And I also know that the avoidance of communicating our truths will create rupture. And if the rupture is not repaired, remember, to create secure attachment with anyone in our lives, it requires healthy repair after rupture. But if there are ruptures that are not being communicated, then there's no opportunity for repair. So then relationships are falling apart, whether friendship or otherwise, mentorship, intimate relationship, any kind of relating that you're doing, they're falling apart all over the place because we're not having the necessary, important, hard conversations. Because a lot of us are in avoidance. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We don't want to make someone wrong. Or we don't trust ourselves to be able to say the thing. And we also don't trust ourselves to be able to hold ourselves in the face of the person's response to whatever the thing is. Now, whilst this conversation is going to have an emphasis around herpes, it's not a herpes conversation. And it is all about what it takes to cultivate the internal safety and internal trust to be able to use our voice powerfully. And before I go into this story, I really want to ask you, do you believe that you trust yourself? Now, when it comes to trust, I really want you to imagine, and I learned this analogy first and foremost from one of my teachers, Sigrid Tazzies, years ago. And she used this analogy with me, which I teach to my clients often. Your subconscious mind is like Big Brother. You know the TV show Big Brother? Cameras on everywhere, always watching. Your subconscious mind is always watching. It sees everything that you do. It also hears everything that you think. So everything that you say, every thought that you think, there's your subconscious mind watching. But not watching from judgment, not watching from berating, just actually watching from neutrality of like, oh, look, Beck said that she's going to go to the gym on Monday. Oh, look, Beck slept in on Monday. Never happens. Never fucking, this is not true, by the way. But like, oh, Beck said she wasn't going to text that guy back. Oh, look, she texted him back anyway. Oh, look, Beck said that she was always going to disclose. Oh, look at that place that she didn't. Oh, Beck said that she wasn't going to pay for men anymore. Oh, look at her sorting the bill out. I'm not saying that any of these scenarios are true, just giving you examples. Now, the subconscious mind is not there making you right or wrong, just witnessing, just collating data. Now, this is how self-trust is formed and or the law of the diminishing intent. This is how we lose our own self-trust. And so every time Rebecca Antonucci says she is going to do something and then I don't follow through on it, every time you say you're going to do something and you don't follow through on it, I don't know. If you've said to yourself the night before bed, I'm going to wake up at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning and I'm not going to sleep through my alarm, I don't fucking know that you've said that unless you tell me. The next morning, when your alarm goes off and you hit snooze 5 times, I don't know that you've done that. But your subconscious mind is like, oh, look, didn't she say last night when she went to bed she was not going to hit the snooze button? And yet she did it 5 times. There she goes again, saying things and not following through on them. She doesn't trust herself. And so that is a very low stake moment. Alarm goes off, 7 a.m. in the morning. There's no vulnerability. There's no sensitivity. You just want to nap a little bit fucking longer. There's no threat. Your nervous system is not on alert. You just want to sleep. So in the low stake moments, if you're not going to follow through on your word to yourself, in the high stake moments of communicating your vulnerability, there has got to be a part of you that says, Rebecca Antonucci, no fucking matter what, no matter what you do or say, no matter how this person responds to you, you trust yourself because you're going to have this conversation. And no matter the response, you've got yourself. I trust you that you've got you. I trust me that I've got me. And so I really want to ask you, do you believe that you trust yourself before we even go into this conversation? Because before we even get to inner safety, let's start with the basics. Just be a fucking woman of your word. Let's get even more basic than that. Don't fucking say you're going to do one fucking thing that you're not going to follow through on. Literally, set yourself up for success. If you're going to snooze your alarm 5 times, snooze your alarm 5 times. Don't say you're not going to, because your subconscious mind neutrality is like, bitch, why are you saying this shit? Just like, be lazy, sleep in, have your time. Just don't say you're not going to do that. So this is our very like foundational bottom level of you having yourself and cultivating trust with yourself. Do what you say you're going to do. Don't say things that you know you're not going to follow through on. Entry level self-trust. So as we step into this conversation, I just want that to be popping off in your awareness, because at the end of this episode, I really want you to set a self-trust exercise for yourself. Something basic, something easy, something doable, something implementable, something that you can follow through on. And it's going to be so easy, so deliverable, so implementable that you can actually do it and you can actually start to see positive results show up in your life through your positive intent and your aligned committed action. Now, another juicy, sexy conversation. I'm sure my future husband has better things to do than to be listening to this. But in case he is, you don't want to listen. Or maybe you do. I don't think he does. Anyway, I have another sexy episode to share with you. It came as quite a surprise to me. This story came on Friday night, unexpected and very out of the blue. And I'm going to let you know I did something that I tell you not to do. I tell women who test positive for herpes to set the man up for success and to never disclose in like the heat, in the fire, in the thick of intimacy. Like when you're basically ready for it to happen, that's probably not the opportune time to deliver the news to him. But this story has caught me out of so much surprise that it happened. So I went out on a Friday night, went out with a girlfriend, didn't think anything, was just definitely not in a mood. I'm kind of not a like pick a nut man up on a night out kind of woman, even though Elevator Man kind of says otherwise, but that wasn't really a night out. We go out, we basically bar hop to every bar and nightclub in Bali. I'm a sober person, but I love dancing and I do not like ecstatic, you know, like ecstatic dance with the hippie people. My ecstatic dance is sober in a club dancing to Kanye West and Usher. That is me. I fucking love it. Let's go, baby. And once I'm out, I never want to go home. I'm like, we will go home when the club closes. So literally my girlfriend and I got to one club and it's 3 a.m. and we bar hop for hours. And she looks at me and she goes, should we call it? And I was like, well, it's your night in Bali. It's your last night in Bali. I'm kind of a yes. I didn't want to be like, let's fucking keep going, even though I kind of did. I just wanted her to have her experience. And she looks at me and she goes, we could go back to the Vault. The Vault's my favorite nightclub in Bali. And I look at her, I go, well, I'm not a no. And she's like, let's fucking go. Anyway, we end up at this club. We said, actually, let's go to this other club that we went past because it looks amazing. Neither one of us has gone. And by, again, pure synchronicity of I believe that God is always setting us up for these scenarios, I get to the club, and as I get off my scooter, I lock eyes with this gorgeous, gorgeous man. Remember, I love meeting men in the wild because of the energy. He locks eyes with me. I lock eyes with him. We have this moment. He comes over to me. He's like this big American basketballer, not my type, incredibly dark, just a different kind of man that I've ever been intimately attracted to, but his masculinity just like drew me in. And obviously his presence, he was so large. Anyway, my girlfriend Scooter coincidentally takes her to the wrong club. So I have all of this time out the front talking to him. He's 40. You know that I'm attracted to the man, not the boy. He initiates. He is not intimidated by me. He's an entrepreneur. You know how much I like that. He's not drunk. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. He doesn't smoke or vape. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. We're at a club. All of these things are kind of a yes to me. And remember how I said I'm such a yes to following my curiosities? I'm curious about this man in this moment. Anyway, my girlfriend comes. He pays for the both of us to go in, which again, you know how much I love to be provided for. So that was a big yes for me. He is really attentive, but not overpowering in the club. He dances with me. You know how much I'm a yes to that. His touch is like very beautiful. I'm turned on by that. And I'm just enjoying his presence. He's like there with me and my girlfriend. He goes and gets her a drink. He listens to me that I'm not a drinker. He's just like, he's very attentive and not from neediness, just from like, I just feel like you're a man that knows how to treat a woman right. And this is feeling really good for me. Anyway, we stay dancing until it gets to that point in the night in the club where the seedy men come out and they're just kind of like swarming on the last girls that are left. Me and my girlfriend are dancing and just like man after man after man after man come up to us. And it's starting to ruin the fun of the time. Like the boundaries are feeling very much crossed that we can't just stay and dance and have a good time. And so I turned to her and I say, I'm kind of over this now. And she said, yeah, me too. And so we get her on a scooter and she goes home and he offers to drop me home. Again, I'm just like, am I even attracted to this man? I'm curious. He wants to take me for dinner somewhere at some stage. Would I be interested? Sure, he can drop me home. He's sober. And so I say yes to the drive home. Anyway, he drives me home and he starts kissing me goodnight. Now, as he starts kissing me goodnight, all of this turn on floods my body. And I'm like, oh my God, this is mind-blowingly incredible. I'm like, well, I did not expect my body to be a yes to this in this capacity. And I'm like, this podcast is going to start. I'm like, do I really tell everyone all these stories? I'm like, fuck it. We're all here for it. My future husband is not listening to it. And like, women just want this experience. So I'm just blown away. You know how I said I've been doing the nervous system work to connect with myself? I've been doing Kundalini one-on-one sessions. I've just been expressing so much somatically. I feel so deeply connected to my desire and my turn on more than ever. Remember that podcast episode where I'm like, is it me or is it them? But then that was kind of why I was curious to go back to my ex, because I was like, I'm experiencing this incredible pleasure. Maybe I could experience it with him. I do need the man to show up. And I did realize that his little boy was a part of the problem that then activated my little girl and so on and so forth. We all know the fucking story. Not today, Rebecca Antonucci, not today. Okay, I'm going to park that one for now. And so I am kissing this man. Turn on floods my body and it's just like the like thick of intimacy and passion. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. I thought he was just dropping me home, giving me a kiss and going to take me out for dinner during the week. And this is getting hot and steamy and just, oh my God. And then in my brain, I'm like, fuck, you've got a 4-part disclosure script, bitch. Like, at what point are you going to stop this man? Like, this is amazing. And oh my God, I need to advocate for myself. Not only do I need to advocate for myself, I need to let him know about my need for his pleasure for my pleasure. I need to know about his sexual stamina. I need to tell him I have herpes. So I'm like, whoa. Stop. And so I said to him, and literally, this is what I literally tell herpes women not to do. But like, if you haven't done it and you're in the moment, you either completely self-abandon and not do it, or you're like, well, fuck, this is here for me right now. I was like, well, I can't not do it. this is what God's presented me. I didn't expect, this isn't the opportune moment, but this is what moment has presented. And so as he's kissing me, I pull back and I say, look, I feel like this potentially could go somewhere. And I really have some important things that I normally communicate and express prior to anything happening with a man. And I was like, I really need to have a conversation with you. And he's 40. He's a business owner. He knows how to speak. And he was like, okay, stop kissing me. He's like, let's chat. And so at this point, we're in my, I know, how do we get from the front door to the bedroom? But we are in the bedroom. I am kind of mounted on top of him. And like, he's kind of got his hands around my wrists. And it's just a very sexy scene. Anyway, I look him in the eye and I say, well, look, there's four things that I need to share with you. And he goes, okay. And so I share my disclosure script. I'm like, God just keeps presenting me the opportunity to use my voice and advocate for myself in these really powerful ways. He's like, what's number one? And I said, well, number one, I'm actually only attracted to men who experience pleasure from the pleasuring of the woman, or I'm just not interested. And he's like, he doesn't actually say yes or no. He's just like nods and goes like, okay. Like, I don't really know if he's a yes or a no, or like, cool, or I'm not here for it. He's just like, okay. And he's like, and then what's number two? And I'm like, well, number two is that I feel incredibly disrespected if a man doesn't last in bed. And it's really important to me that you take your time with me. And he was like, okay, right, okay, cool. And like his eyes, he's just kind of got this like receiving what I'm saying energy. And he's like, okay, what's number three? I'm like, number three is if you do not have sexual stamina, which obviously I prefer, but if you don't, it's really important to me that you prioritize me before you prioritize your own pleasure. Otherwise, I'm just not available for this. And he's like, okay. He's like, what's number four? And I was like, okay, number four is it's important that you know that I have herpes. And then he's like, okay. And he kind of takes a breath. I'm like, this poor guy, I'm mounted on him, hands, wrists, passionate kissing, all the things. And then I'm like, you know, I actually do also talk about this on the internet. I just also want to let you know that. And I didn't know the night was going to end up here. If I had have known, I would have preferred to have shared this information with you earlier than right now. And he's like, okay. And he's like, well, one, two, and three, I'm good for. He's like, number four, I don't really know anything about it. Like, I have some friends with it, but I haven't really asked them questions. He actually called them homegirls. I have some homegirls with it, but I don't really know anything about it. So I kind of have some questions. In my mind, I'm like, this is fucking great, because I'm always telling women on the internet that I'm like, I attract men that are like, I don't care. Or is that really important? Or doesn't everyone have herpes? Or I already knew that about you. Or me too, babe, that it becomes such a non-issue that in my mind, I'm like, this is my first kind of disclosure where the guy's like, oh, I just don't know anything about it. And so he kind of asked things like, when was your last outbreak? What's the transmission rate? I've heard it's really low transmission. And so obviously I'm like, hey, I'm Becca Antonucci. I'm a conspiracy theorist. That's probably so reassuring. I did say to him, look, number one, I don't align with me saying anything that's going to put your mind at ease. Like, if you're feeling any amount of discomfort, my preference is that we don't continue, because for me to be able to receive, I need to know that it is a non-issue for you. And if it is in your space, then it's going to be in my space and I'm not going to be able to receive sexually. This guy was so great. As soon as I said that, he's like, how can I put your mind at ease so you can receive? I was like, fuck, just using my voice is so powerful. And then he asked about transmission rates and feeling like there's a low chance of transmission based on the things that he knows. And I did say to him, hey, look, I am Becca Antonucci. I didn't say that part, but I said, I am a conspiracy theorist and I don't actually believe in the transmission rates. It's important that you know that there's always a chance, even if we use condoms. I am not on medication because I'm very pro-natural health. So if there is any reservation from you around being on the receiving end of it, again, what I think is really important is that he's like, maybe I should go away and do some research. He's like, I really want to take you for dinner and I really, really want to be intimate with you. Maybe I should go away and do some research. And I was like, yeah, maybe you should go away and do some research. Like, do your research, take me for dinner. Like, oh, cool. Now, we had an incredible night and I just want to let you know that one, two, and three, he was really available for. And what I just kept communicating was what was true for me. If you're not fully okay, I'm not going to be able to be in my receivership. I need to know that you're fully here for me to be able to relax. Once I'm fully in my receivership, it creates this massive desire and turn on to be able to pour into you. And I was just able to communicate all of that just from such an empowered, centered, grounded place. Now, to bring this back to you, what have I done? Because this is the thing. We can never predict how someone's going to respond. I could have been mounting him. His hands could have been wrapped around my wrist and he could have gone, get the fuck off me, literally get off me. This is disgusting. I can't believe you led me on to be here. I'm just making up a scenario right now. Some women on the internet do actually tell me some really horror stories of men not giving them the respect that they deserve. Actually, in every moment, he was like, I really respect you for telling me. When he was like, oh, transmission's low, right? And I was like, ah, they say that on the internet. I don't believe it. And he'd look at me and be like, wow, I just really respect you telling me that. And I said to him, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Not only do I think you're a really good person, I believe that I'm a really good person. I want everyone to be treated by me the way that I desire to be treated by me. And also, I'm desiring partnership at the end of this. And I literally said this to him. I was like, every time I create rupture with a man, I am creating more and more and more distrust between me and the spaciousness that I'm creating to call in the kind of partner that I'm desiring. And the kind of partner that I desire respects me and lives in his integrity, does desire my desires and receives pleasure from my desires, has a big, beautiful vision, respects women, adores women, is going to treat me right, is going to treat my family right, is going to provide for us, is going to be the man that shares his values with my children. It is so important to me right now that I show up as that woman so that he can show up for me. And by now, I like track record of men treating me really well, even Mr. Ex-professional football player, he was still a great man. We still had a great time. Yeah, we had conflicting communication styles. And yes, I didn't agree with him taking 7 minutes the first round. He was very much there for me round two. But the men that I'm receiving, even my breakup with my ex-partner, beautiful man. Respectful man, in integrity man, sweet man, kind man, compassionate man, empathetic man, respectful man, protective man. He has frequently said when people have talked shit about me to him, because obviously his friends are all going to be like, fuck Beck, what a fucking bitch, that little psycho herpes sex slut on the internet, or that little Bali, she's sex obsessed bitch, whatever the things that they've said. He has always said, don't. He will always protect me and defend me and say, don't speak about her like that to me. How have I attracted such great men? By doing my work to live in alignment with my standards, my values, and attract into my life people that also align with that. And yes, that doesn't mean that the relationship, air quotes right now, will always work, but I will continue to attract people that are bringing me the lessons and the blessings for the partnership that's coming. And so this man, with everything that I communicated, he was kind of like, you're a very honest woman, and kept meeting me with respect. Like when I said to him, if this is uncomfortable for you, like at one stage I was like, I actually want to stop because I feel like you're not fully okay with this. He was like, no, he's like, I just don't know anything about it. And I was like, that's okay. Like that's literally fine by me. And to turn around and be like, I can't relax unless I know you're relaxed. So then I can't receive if I'm not relaxed. For then to him to turn around and be like, I want you to be relaxed. How can I support you to relax? That to me is just like, I'm being met with so much respect through my embodied communication. How powerful. Now, this is the kicker. I had done so much work on my self-trust, to really full circle to the beginning. So much work on my self-trust. So much work on my internal felt sense of safety. That no matter, what will we call him? I met him at the nightclub Messa, so we'll call him Mr. Messa. And no matter how Mr. Messa chose to respond to my delivery of my four-piece disclosure, I knew that I was going to be okay. I knew that if he got up out of bed and said, I'm really mad at you for leading me on, not I believe that I did, or if he got up and was like, ew, herpes gross, or if he got up and was like, you're a fucking demanding bitch, or whatever he could have. Just any hypothetical scenario. You know, when we're about to do something scary that we've never done before, so our ego creates all of these stories about the potential scary thing that could happen. Any of those potential scary stories that could have happened, I knew if any of those did, that it wouldn't mean anything about me. I knew that if he got up and said any of those things to me, what was more important and what is more important is my trust in self and me living in alignment with my own integrity and me never abandoning myself. And I know that every time I don't communicate now that four-piece disclosure about his pleasure for my pleasure, about his willingness to prioritize pleasuring me, even if his sexual stamina doesn't exist, for him to know the disrespect that I feel when he doesn't take his time. Also, our ovens take 45 fucking minutes to warm up. And like I said in my last episode, once I'm warm, I'm on hot for a really long time. When you don't warm me up, like by the time it's over, the heat's just started and like it's over and I'm now on. There's a mismatch here. So that's why it's even more important to me, because my sexual expression is so important to me, that if he doesn't take his time, my oven is not fucking warm. And just to really full circle this and to make it relevant to you, I know that I actually get turned on and can be aroused and pleasured and come to orgasm and climax so much quicker than a lot of women share with me. Maybe a big part of that is getting out of my head and dropping into my body. Maybe a big part of that is giving pleasure to my orgasm or giving permission to my orgasm. Maybe a big part of that is there's no shame. There's no shame around the herpes piece. There's no shame or fear around, oh, if he knew that I had herpes or I haven't disclosed or any of those stories. There's no shame. There's no energetic block in the way of my pleasure and my orgasm now. And my willingness to communicate my truth gives even more permission to me to be able to experience and feel pleasure and express pleasure, to be seen in my pleasure. So if I hadn't done the work through A, working on the piece around self-trust, doing everything that Rebecca Antonucci can to be her word to herself, not when everyone's watching, not when you see me on Instagram, not when I'm recording my podcast, not when I'm in front of people or with clients, but in the micro moments when no one else gets to see, are you in congruence with your own word? Do you do what the fuck you say you're going to do? Do you follow through on your word to you? Do you not hit the snooze button when you say you're not going to? Do you go to the gym or work out when you say that you're going to? Do you save the savings that you say that you're committed to? Are you doing the things that you have said that you're here for? Because every time you say you're going to do something, remember, all parts have positive intention. These parts of you that say you want these great things, want these great things for you. Then the saboteur kicks in. It's like, nah, not today. We can't be giving that part of us permission. And we save ourselves from that part by, we can be like, you know what? I would like to save more money this year, but my truth is I feel like spending it all. I'm going to go YOLO and go traveling, and I'm going to wait till next year to save. If that's your truth, just fucking honor it. Just give yourself permission to go YOLO instead of I'm going to save and then not. Don't write out a budget in your Excel spreadsheet or in your budget app that you've downloaded on your phone and not follow through on it and keep pulling from it every week. Just follow through on the words that you're saying to yourself. That way, in the high stakes moment, now this wasn't actually a high stakes moment for me. Partnership. When my partner comes in and I am communicating that I care for him, that I have feelings for him, I know already that that is going to be so vulnerable and scary and beautiful and meaningful and impactful and terrifying for me. Disclosing to a man that I have herpes or these are my sex standards before I'm willing to share my body with him, not vulnerable at all, but incredibly important. Now, the final piece. So self-trust is the entry point to this. Self-trust is your foot through the door of being able to do the hard things. If we're not working on our self-trust, every other part is going to be really fucking hard. Disclosing is going to be hard. Communicating your sex values is going to be hard. Setting boundaries with friends is going to be hard. Following through on your savings budget is going to be hard. Starting a business is going to be hard. Clients signing up to you is going to be hard. If you don't fucking trust you, people in your life are probably not going to trust you either. Why do so many women come into my world? You know you trust me. You know that I'm going to show up today, tomorrow, next week, and next year. How do the women know when they invest in me that I'm not going to take their money, shut down my laptop and go and drink cocktails by a pool in Bali? You know, through my consistent action, even if you don't like me, you know that you trust me. So self-trust, entry level into sharing vulnerably. Now, what's the next piece? Inner safety. Doing the work to cultivate a deep felt sense of safety from within. Say that was a challenging scenario for me. Oh, Beck, I know right now we have gotten ourselves into a scenario where we actually tell the internet it's probably best that you not do this. Don't put the poor guy in a situation where he could feel uncomfortable or make the woman feel bad. The reason it was okay for me was because if he said, I'm not keen for this, I would be like, that's totally cool. Misalignment doesn't mean anything about me because I've done the work to create inner safety to hold the container of the conversation of the herpes virus. So no matter what anyone says to me, no matter what Mr. Messer said to me, no matter his response, no matter the people on the internet, I feel safe to be me because this doesn't mean anything about me. If you haven't created safety for your vulnerabilities to exist within you and you are rejecting and denying them or pushing them away or trying to fix them or make them wrong or just trying to make yourself better, then that vulnerability is essentially going to be amplified and illuminated. And then God, universe, source, spirit, higher consciousness, whoever you align with, is going to continue to present you people, situations, circumstances to literally reveal what you're repressing. So if you're rejecting a part of you because you're not giving permission to it and creating safety for it, it's going to be illuminated in these different experiences with other people. So I've created safety. Originally, herpes was so vulnerable for me. Originally, I rejected it for so long, for as long as I was rejecting it. The fear of rejection existed in my life. As soon as I was like, actually, I'm going to create space for this part of me. I am going to create space for the part of me that fears people knowing this about me because I think that it means that I'm a lesser woman. I'm going to create space for this. And I'm going to learn how to communicate that. And I'm going to start to tend to that hurt and harm part of me, that beautiful part. Now, this is a prior part of Rebecca. She's been worked on so much when it comes to the herpes piece that that part doesn't exist anymore. That part of me that felt so meaningless, so worthless, so unvaluable, so like my worth had been ripped from me because this had been given to me. I had to tend to her pain and allow her to feel met, seen, acknowledged, validated, reassured by me. How do I do that? Well, even the part of me that's still hurt by the breakup, that still comes up for me. In fact, I was having this like epiphany moment on my scooter over the weekend where I was like, I am in the best space right now. Everything happened the exact way it happened. We were not meant to be together. Even if he had a new girlfriend, I would feel so good about it. I just know that I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. And then fucking Perth, as small as it fucking is, had a music festival that 35,000 people in Perth went to. And a woman I know, who's a past client of mine, puts up a story and my fucking ex-boyfriend is in the back of it. He's not doing anything. He's just there. And it triggered so much for me and it activated a lot. And all of this sensitivity and vulnerability activated within me. And I was like, how the fuck am I here again 12 months later? Of I thought I was on my scooter having this epiphany moment about how good I felt. And I was just invited to meet the pain and create safety for that part of me that felt hurt. And so I got to go to her, just like you could go to that part of you that might fear people knowing this piece around herpes or whatever your vulnerable expression is. For me, it's like, oh, Becca, I know it's so hard. Like, I know that you know that you're in the right place. And I know that you know that he's not for you. And I know that you've written letters from your partner and from him. And I know that life had to happen exactly this way. And I also know that it's still really hard to miss him sometimes. And like breakups are hard. This was not easy for you. And it's okay that sometimes when you think about him, it still creates this pain for you. That's okay. I don't want to make it wrong. It's just really hard. And I want you to know that for me, I can recreate the story of being rejected. And I'm like, I didn't even want to go to that music festival. I saw his friends that were in the video with him and I never had a good time with them. And then the part of my bullied girl that feels like I've been rejected. And so I have to go to her and be like, no one is rejecting you. No one is bullying you. No one is making fun of you. No one is trying to have power over you. And even if they were, which they're not, I would always protect you. I would always show up for you. And it's okay that this breakup is still hard. And so I meet the pain. What can I do for me to make myself feel safe and seen and heard in my pain when it's still sometimes there? And so if it was the herpes piece, the vulnerability piece around that with Mr. Messer, even though it wasn't that for me, this is just a hypothetical scenario. Say I was fearful of doing it, but I knew I had to do it. The inner safety would have been, come on, Rebecca. I know that you've got you. We trust ourselves. I believe in you. Your integrity is so much more important than anyone's reaction or response to your delivery of your integrity. We have got you no matter what. No matter what this person's response and or reaction is, you're going to be okay. You deserve to communicate your truth because remember, it is more painful for you, Rebecca, to avoid their reaction by not communicating their truth than to be with their reaction whilst communicating your truth. We've done that. You've done the avoidance for too long now, and you know that the avoidance creates distrust within you, and we trust ourselves as a woman. So knowing that you trust yourself, knowing that we're safe to be your full self in this world, every single part of you, the dark and the light, the beautiful parts, and every other part that we think that society might not love and like, I accept you. I choose you with all of it wholly. What are you going to choose right now? I trust you to choose the pathway forward that is most in alignment with you, even when it's hard. Can you do that? I believe in you. You can. And literally, these could be the pep talks, whether I was on the back of his scooter. If I wanted to, I could have pep talked myself in that moment. I could pep talk myself in a car drive somewhere. I could pep talk myself in my morning coffee. Whatever you need to do to create the felt sensation of I am safe because I trust me, because I've got me, no matter what happens on the other side of me communicating what is true to me. Because what is more important to me is my truth and me advocating that than the avoidance of my truth out of fear of a potential reaction. And so, my loves, I am going to leave you in the thought of that. Are you willing to communicate your most vulnerable truths? Are there stronger and more solidified relationships that could be formed in your life through your willingness to communicate your vulnerable truth? Are there ruptures occurring in your life, in your relationships, because you're avoiding the communication of what is truly true and real for you because it feels so vulnerable? And if it feels so vulnerable, why are you in the avoidance of the communication of it? Is it because A, you lack self-trust, and B, you have not done the internal world to create inner safety around this vulnerable piece? For as long as we reject the self, we will never be truly vulnerable. So the work is to create space and acceptance and safety for that vulnerable part. And once we do that, that's when the communication of it, whilst it will not be easy, I'm not saying this path is easy, but once you start practicing it, it will become easier. And then you'll reach a new level, and then a new devil will appear, like when I meet my husband. Oh my fucking God, I'm going to be crying all the time, I'm going to be vulnerable all the time. He's going to be like, my sweet, soft, beautiful partner. That's so emotional. You're going to be continuously being met with a new place and space where you will be met with an edge, because you're always going to be expanding. So let's start practicing now in the low stakes moments so that we can start to get ready for the high stakes moments, and we can be women who really trust ourselves and know that our safety is not given to us from the external world nor taken from us by the external world, because our internal felt sense of safety is created from within. My love, if you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. Your assignment is to create a self-trust exercise for you to follow through on so that you become a woman of your word for you. I cannot wait to be back in your ears next week. I hope you have the most beautiful, brilliant day. Let's fucking go. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.